It's HPR, All Things Considered, and I'm Dave Lawrence. A critical vote is pending on Capitol Hill. Senators on the Judiciary Committee, including our own Mazie Hirono, are expected to vote on the confirmation of Donald Trump's second Supreme Court nominee, Brett Kavanaugh. Recently, attorney Bill Snape, an assistant dean at American University's Washington College of Law and senior counsel for the nonprofit Center for Biological Diversity, looked at an area of Kavanaugh's work that's received little coverage. Wildlife cases. And if confirmed by October, Kavanaugh's first case would involve wildlife. Weyerhaeuser, the world's largest timber company, is challenging a decision by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to designate about 1,600 acres in Louisiana as habitat for the critically endangered dusky gopher frog. We've got the full half-hour conversation posted online at hawaiipublicradio.org. But right now, we share some highlights of what Bill Snape found. Hey, Bill, thanks for doing this.
My pleasure. Great to be here.
And before we get into your analysis, first, how often do wildlife cases even get to the Supreme Court level?
That's a good question. Not that often. I would say, looking back on the last 30 years, just calculating, I'd say about once every 5 years or so, you'll see either an Endangered Species Act case or a migratory bird case or a marine mammal case make its way to the Supreme Court, but it is not every year for sure.
Okay, that adds some perspective. And then on to Kavanaugh. You analyzed him, and so over his career so far, he's handled a total of 18 wildlife-related cases?
That's right. Right now, as a judge on the United States Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit, and it was all sorts of wildlife cases, endangered species, marine mammals, migratory birds, NEPA, National Environmental Policy Act cases. And actually, he never completely ruled for a wildlife species in a case. There were two cases that I called split decisions, but in the vast majority of cases, not only cases that he wrote, but cases that he voted upon, there was this seemingly lack of appreciation for what wildlife and wildlife habitat and natural systems do. And that theme became very apparent when I read all 18 decisions.
What was one of the split cases?
One case had to do with a development in the southeast that was impacting both a bird species and indigo snake. Wetlands outside Tampa, Florida, the Army Corps of Engineers have been found to violate the Clean Water Act with a development to dredge and fill wetlands for business condo development. He ruled against the wood stork, which was the bird species at issue in that case. So I gave him a half loss on that. And on the indigo snake, there was overwhelming biological evidence in the administrative record that the snake was imperiled. And so Kavanaugh actually did sort of halt the project for a time being to have it go through what's called Endangered Species Act consultation. But what's interesting is he didn't actually order that a biological opinion by the expert agency be written. He just sort of said, go back and do the process. And so even on that case, he really wasn't affirming the biological evidence in the record. He wasn't speaking up for the snake. And I've seen many other Section 7 cases like that, where a judge will order a biological opinion to be written, will order the full consultation to reach its end.
Has that been dredged and filled and developed now?
It actually has been, and there was some habitat put aside for the snake, which is why I gave him some partial credit. But the snake never did actually get the full protection that it needed, even though Kavanaugh had the authority to order it in that case. He did not give any protection to the wood stork. Of the 18 cases that he's ruled for, he was against wildlife 17.25 times. And I think, Dave, that the real thing to all these cases is he already has his mind made up before the case starts, because there's such a predictability and pattern to his analysis of not understanding the public interest in wildlife, not understanding the value in wildlife, and basically always holding those who would want to protect wildlife to a much higher level of scrutiny that he would give to, let's say, corporate plaintiffs or defendants or developing plaintiffs or defendants. He's very much in favor of traditional economic development, does not understand sort of modern conservation.
Out of the other cases, what would you point to as good examples of his decision-making on wildlife?
A really good one is actually an endangered species critical habitat case. That's exactly the issue that's going to be before the Supreme Court on October 1st. Critical habitat case he decided at the D.C. Circuit about 6 years ago for the fairy shrimp in California. And as fate would have it, I actually argued that case before him. And in that decision, which I have to admit that I lost, and Kavanaugh ruled and wrote the decision against me and against the Fish and Wildlife Service, who had intervened on behalf of the Fish and Wildlife Service, he ruled that even though the Fish and Wildlife Service's best scientific evidence indicated that the fairy shrimp needed this particular plot of land to recover, expert agency opinion was this was the best habitat for recovery for the species, Kavanaugh said the evidence wasn't good enough. and actually threw out a number of parcels that just so happened to be owned by rich and powerful private landowners who were able to sue in federal court. To me, that's a great example of Judge Kavanaugh's arrogance, the fact that he actually thinks he knows more than federal biologists. And it also reveals, if you read the decision carefully, just a general hostility and almost a snideness towards the very concept of protecting habitat that might get in the way of economic development. So that, to me, is a prime example and really a very sort of stage one example of why we don't want this guy on the Supreme Court. He's already ruled against endangered species before. And not only would the endangered species case on October 1st be before him, it would be the very first case he would hear. And just another really quick example before I turn it back to you is, and this has to do with both wildlife and human health, in a case called the Homer case, which was actually a Clean Air Act case, an interstate pollution case that actually impacted both human health and animal health, Judge Kavanaugh ruled that a very elaborate compromise and plan that EPA had developed with all of these states was illegal. And Kavanaugh was eventually overturned by the Supreme Court 6-2. And the impact of Kavanaugh's decision there was actual, literal human death and injury and destruction of ecosystems. That is exactly what EPA had calculated. Any delay in implementing these clean air strategies was, you know, we're talking about massive coal pollution, and Kavanaugh ruled against it. And there was a period of 18 months to 2-year delay where the old polluting rule was in effect, literally because of Kavanaugh. And this is an instance that we begin to see that the Kavanaugh, he's not the strict constructionist he claims he is. You know, he says that he'll just follow the law. He doesn't make the law. Here was an instance where the Supreme Court said he had made up law, that he had held EPA to a standard that was nowhere in the statute. So I think when you look at those two cases, particularly the endangered species critical habitat case, where he's already questioned the judgment of federal biologists, and then a clean air case where many states and the EPA come up with an effective clean air solution and he rules against it, those two to me are pretty clear indications that any environmental case he'd get before the Supreme Court, I think, would be bad for the environment, and certainly as it relates to wildlife.
The size of the creature came up in one of his responses. He was sort of making it seem like, how could we stand in the way of construction over a creature that was as small as an ant?
And that was the fairy shrimp case, Endangered Species Act critical habitat case. And yes, your quote and your summary is a great example of that mocking tone that he has towards wildlife conservation. And he doesn't get bird conservation. He doesn't get habitat conservation. And what he does get is multinational corporate and big business quarterly profits. That is his mindset of how the world works. It's this sort of constant bailing out of the big powers that be. And of course, we all know, looking at wildlife conservation, the big powers that be are exactly why we got ourselves into the trouble we are with wildlife and endangered species. With Kavanaugh, he has made it one of his claims to have this sort of rabid view of cost-benefit analysis where lakes and streams and oceans and wetlands and frogs get zero or close to zero value. And so really, the stakes couldn't be higher really ever for endangered species. There's many issues that you hear about with Kavanaugh in the news right now, abortion and torture and lying to Congress about stolen documents, all sorts of things. But the very first case that he could decide is endangered species. And so I've been trying to tell people, you know, this film, Kavanaugh, is about extinction. It is about a worldview of nature, about our greatest court in the land, how they're going to view nature. If Kavanaugh's in there, I would be really scared for endangered species, not only for the frog case, but for all cases 30 years to come.
Bill Snape, he's an assistant dean at American University's Washington College of Law. He's senior counsel with the nonprofit Center for Biological Diversity, which have been on before on Helping Hand, talking about their lawsuit to get protection for the Pacific walrus. Bill, I really appreciate your time and sharing some of your analysis on these 18 cases that Brett Kavanaugh handled that were related to wildlife.
Dave, thank you. Thanks for having me.